Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have recurring guest, friend of the program, CJ McCollum from the NBA bubble. We interviewed him actually during Grit Week stream. So we interviewed him on Wednesday.
It was like hour two of the stream. Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah, we ducked out for just a couple minutes.
Awesome interview with him. He's one of our favorite recurring guests. Been too long, but we get a good look into what the bubble life is like, how he feels about Slim Mello, being a walking bucket, and much, much more. We have sports officially all the way back. It felt great. We're going to talk about that. Who's back of the week? PR 101 for the Mets, because everyone thought that Jose, how did you say his name, Billy? Jose
Cespedes.
No, but what did you say originally?
I said Jose Cespedes, not, you know.
Yeah,
I thought,
so yours, Jose Cespedes was dead for like 5 minutes, and now he's opting out. We'll get to that, and before we do all of that. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Monday, August 3rd, and sports are all the way back. They're all the way back. It was so fucking good this weekend. I got the three TVs set up again. I fired them all up to have something on all three. NBA, MLB, hockey, horse racing. Fuck yes, guys.
It was tough. It was actually a little bit tough on like Thursday, Friday night, because I'm making the transition to a new cable system in my apartment right now. So I don't have my back button ready to go. I don't have the channels all set up in the back of my mind. So it was preseason for sports viewers too. But it was awesome, especially Friday night, especially Saturday night.
All of
especially
it.
Sunday during the day when golf got in the mix. It was sports all the way being back, and it felt really, really good.
It's crazy to think of a time when we didn't have sports, but are seemingly in the clear, and I say seemingly just because we don't know what's going to happen with baseball. I feel like every single team has had positives, actually, except for the Cubs. Shout out the Cubs. They should probably win it. If the Cubs are the only team that don't get a corona positive, do they win the title?
Yeah, but Chris Bryant self-reported, so it's kind of.
He had a tummy ache.
Chris Bryant has diarrhea.
Yeah, he had a tummy ache. He's smart.
It's actually very, very smart on his part to just call it diarrhea. Nobody will ever ask you a follow-up.
You think he just didn't want to explain? Didn't want to play and was like, I think I might have corona.
No, well,
he gave himself a pinstripe.
In all seriousness, Rob Manfred being like, I'm going to threaten you guys. If you don't start following the rules, we're going to cancel the league. I don't. Is Rob Manfred. Does he realize he's the commissioner? He's the one who can help. Like, he could maybe put in place a rule that if you get caught doing something that puts everyone else in jeopardy, you can be suspended for the rest of the year. Like, the Cubs don't have a positive, and I think it is because Anthony Rizzo and John Lester are cancer survivors, so they're taking extra precaution. But they're showing that you're able to do it by being extra precautious and not being fucking idiots. And I just don't understand why Rob Manfred, like, his statement on Friday where he threatened everyone, like, hey, if you don't start following the rules, we're canceling this shit. It's like, dude, you are the commissioner.
Yo, he said that the players need to do a better job. He's like,
you're the commissioner.
The players need to do a better job. You know what, Rob Manfred? I don't recall you ever saying to cancel jersey exchanges after games.
God.
Maybe that's a good step you could take. Maybe ban or only do divisional play like college football. That seems to work for them so far.
Well, we're kind of doing that.
Yeah.
It's geographical.
Geographical. Yes. Staying geographical with it. Maybe get involved in some of the text threads that they've got going on where they're decide where the you're giving the players the power where they decide whether or not they want to play that day. These are all just like things that a commissioner should be taking care of. And in American sports, you really only have to be slightly better than the hockey commissioner. As long as you can stay,
he's not doing it.
As long as you can stay like slightly less problematic than the commissioner of the NHL, then your job is safe. Rob Manfred has put himself
he's
in the crosshairs big time.
He just has to. Rob Manfred has to go to bed every single night. He probably like right in his nightstand. He pulls out his Roger Goodell voodoo doll and starts poking it with pins, being like, "Please fuck this up, Goodell. Please fuck this up. Because if you fuck this up, no one will give a shit. You know, no one will care that I have been an absolute debacle with handling Major League Baseball coming back."
Well, you know how when you're playing golf and somebody hits their shot and you get to see their lie, right?
Yeah,
I've seen it on television. Yes. I think Hank brought it up when we were playing Mario Party or something like that.
Yes.
But you get to see the lie.
Should we play some Mario Party after this, by the way?
I'm down. Maybe 35 turns?
Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
I'll spot you four stars.
Sorry, we should just go live.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you get to see somebody's lie. You get to see what the putt's going to look like when you hit it. That is exactly what's happening right now for Roger Goodell with baseball. Because the NFL model right now is essentially baseball's model. You start out with a training camp. You start out with something that's more controlled, where you can kind of monitor the comings and goings of the players and the coaches. And then once the season starts, you're kind of just left up to the best devices of your coach and your captains, and there's no real rules. There's no bubble. Right now, the NFL is getting a prime example of what happens when you don't have a system in place. And so Goodell, if he's smart, he should be looking at this putt that is drifting wide to the right, and he should take his line accordingly and be like, hey, maybe we should have some sort of regulation.
The one thing that I think the NFL still has going for it is that pretty much everyone...
kicks ass.
No, I was going to say that pretty much every single player is just going to lie when they have coronavirus. I think there will be a whole team that's sick, and we just won't know about it.
Well, if Shiano was still in the league...
It's in the culture of the NFL to be like, no, we're good. I don't have coronavirus. Let me play.
It's going to be the Raiders because John Gruden already said that he wants to smash the COVID virus into the ground.
Right.
So, and I honestly believe that John Gruden could defeat the coronavirus.
It's
mental.
Either way, MLB for now. For now, MLB is back, but it was great. Basketball, I'm going to give all the credit in the world to basketball because the games, like, with no fans, they've made it as good as possible.
Yeah, it's
they really
awesome.
Have. The atmosphere is cool. The fans, the digital fans are a little weird, but it's still nice to visually see that like something is going on in the background that's not just a completely empty gym. And I just the whole thing, they've done a great job.
It really
feels like good games and fun. And I'm thinking about the playoffs, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be super interesting. And guess what? They're in a bubble, so we aren't worried about it like baseball, where we're like, hey, let's enjoy baseball for a couple days because it might be taken away from us at any moment.
The piped-in crowd noise is pretty cool. I really want to be in charge of controlling the boos. I love when the boos kick in. Like, there's some guy who's like, okay, yeah, we need to boo this call. And you know that the refs are pissed off. You know that Joey Crawford would eject a digital fan if he was still in the league, and that would be amazing to watch. My only qualm with a digital fan is, for some reason, they don't make every seat filled with the fans. Like, they're like one out of every five seats just doesn't have a digital fan.
Right.
Like, you could just, you know, that you don't have to have that seat empty right there.
Right.
They don't need to social distance. They're not actually in the stands.
My only issue with the way the NBA is going is they really need to figure out a way to limit the amount of oxygen that goes in when the Nuggets have a home game. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
To have one thing be like, hey, that's similar to playing on the road in Denver. Uh-huh.
Or at least put Jack Nicholson front and center at the Lakers games. That'd be pretty cool.
Or the Lakers guy.
Have Drake be at every single game wearing a different jersey. That'd be sick, too.
But it really has, like, when you're watching these NBA games, it doesn't, for as weird as this year has been and as weird as sports have been, it really is as like, close to the real thing as you can get.
I thought that EPL soccer did a pretty good job, too.
Yeah.
With a chance and everything like that.
Yeah.
I'm
talking about American
sports.
Yeah,
American
sports.
Real
on,
sports.
Stay on,
and
stay
that
on
was
track.
Soccer.
Stay on track.
They should, you know what they should do? Let's just like dive in all the way when it comes to digital enhancements, and let's give some more hair to Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
Or just shave it bald, Alex. Either way.
Dude, Alex Caruso, there was a, did you guys see the funny meme of J.R. Smith like looking very quizzically at the back of Caruso's jersey? Being like, I thought his last name was Caruso.
Yeah.
Because that part, does get a little confusing when everyone's – obviously, they have different messages on the back of their jerseys. Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure Kawhi, which is so Kawhi, he's like, no, I'm just
– He's just Leonard.
Kawhi. Yeah, I'm Leonard.
He's Leonard. The Clippers are weird because the Clippers have like five or six players that have the messages at the top. And then if you kept your real name, yes. It's at the bottom. It's yes. You get the tramp stamp with your last yes. name on it and the small of your
I
back.
I just love the Kawhi. And there was even a clip of Kawhi getting fucked with by one of the Morris twins. And he's just still not mm-hmm. having any of it.
It's pretty fucked up that the robot fans aren't all cheering for Kawhi.
Come yes.
on, traitors.
Yes. And then hockey was great, too.
Yeah.
Hockey was great. Hockey ended racism as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just said end racism.
Oh, I thought they just...
No. It just said end racism to start. And I was like, damn,
like,
that's a good
idea. Like on the ice?
Like, why didn't we think of that?
Oh, like on the ice.
No, it was just a big banner to start every game. It just said end racism. I was like... Got a point.
It'd be pretty sick.
We should probably cut that shit out.
It'd be pretty sick if hockey just like hired some goon, like a Cam Neely looking dude to skate out onto the ice before every game wearing a jersey that just said racism on the back and then just get the shit kicked out of him by one of the enforcers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking sweet.
Yeah, it'd be like the Vegas Knights pregame hole when they have the EDM concert. But
yeah.
Hockey was great. It was great. Like, that was another one where they've done a really good job. It feels – obviously, nothing's going to feel like playoff hockey without the crowds, mm-hmm. but it's as close as it can get.
Can I jump back real quick to Alex Caruso? Because I love Alex Caruso because he has now reached the point – I wrote this down when I was watching the game. He has become – he started out being underrated, but then he was so underrated that he became overrated. But now it's swung back, and now he's like – overratedly underrated, so now he's underrated again. And so every time he makes a good defensive play, the announcers have to remind us, like, Alex Caruso, really good athlete.
Right.
Very good defensively.
Yes.
And so soon, probably I'd say like in the next 2 weeks, it'll swing back the other way where he'll be overrated again. But I love watching that pendulum swing on a scrappy, gritty, coach's son type player
yes.
like Alex.
Yes. And the only complaint I had about the NBA really was that I don't know who missed the message, but the Pelicans not realizing the whole reason they were invited was to get Zion in the playoffs and then playing him 29 minutes over two games, which I get the second game was a blowout of all blowouts, but still, we wanted to watch Zion.
Yeah.
He's a little heavy, but we still wanted to watch him, and you've played him 29 minutes in two games.
He runs – when he runs, he's, like, leaning forward like a tired 8-year-old. Have you noticed that about him? He, like, stomps his feet.
Yeah.
And he just, like, kind of starts tilting forward. But it's burst restriction, bro.
I just –
It's not,
I
it's
really
not rest.
Wish
it's burst restriction.
We really should just skip forward. The NBA should just put their hand up and be like, you know what? These next six games of the regular season, we're going to cancel them because the Pelicans are not going to play ball.
Can you tell me what the difference between burst restriction and load management is?
No.
They're just different ways to taunt us to not make premature ejaculation jokes.
Also, our boy JJ got done dirty by ESPN.
Oh, God. They went sad face on everyone, but yeah. His was especially sad.
So is this going to be, what, the first time in 12 years that JJ doesn't make the playoffs?
Yes. Yes. It's going to be sad.
End of an era.
Yeah. And he's going to be on the pod on Wednesday, too. So we'll have to bring that up to him
mm-hmm.
over and over. Be like, dude, that sucks.
Is it going to be weird?
Yeah.
Is it going to be weird not losing the first round this year?
Is it going to be weird not playing in August?
Yeah.
Must be crazy.
The J.J. Redick golf clubs meme, the old Ovechkin one.
Can I bum you guys out, though, for a second?
Can I do one thing to bum us out?
I know, but
you know
I
what?
Want to
I
just
felt,
bum us out.
I felt so bad on Thursday doing Wednesday, or doing Friday's show, and now I feel so good on Sunday, fully recovered.
By the way, you're PFT here. You were so drunk and tired.
Yeah, maybe because I drank 24 beers in 24 hours.
Your idea of when we were about to tape at like noon, and you're like, what if we just went and took naps, and we just did the rest of the show at like 9 p.m., and it was all-time future you moment where you're like,
I
just push this off.
I don't think you truly understood like where my brain was at that point, because yeah, it sucks.
Oh, I did.
It
you
sucks.
Said love you guys halfway through the show.
It sucks. Well, I do love them. I love them double time that episode, but it sucks so bad. I'm sure it sucked having to eat all those hot dogs, but like I was not myself at
so
that
bloated.
Point because there was so much fucking alcohol.
But it was such a funny idea to be like, let's do this in 9 hours.
And so I go home, I fall asleep on my floor, on the floor of my apartment, and I'm laying on Leroy's chest. And I woke up because Leroy kind of tried to stand up, and I go, what is it, Billy? And Leroy just looked at me, and I was like, I mean, I mean, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely didn't call you Billy. And then every time I closed my eyes, I would just see Mario Party, and I would hear the sounds mm-hmm. from Mario Party. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it fucked me up for about 12 hours.
So, by the way, the final tally for the Grip Week 24-hour stream, I'll wait to bum us out. I'll do it. We'll do it as a segment. I'll do a let's bum us out for a second as a segment. We'll ride high for a little bit longer. Final tally, we got just shy of $30,000 that we are donating. So shout out to all the AWLs, to Warren Sharp, and to Matt Walsh, who also donated a bunch of money, and the Cash App. So $30,000 that we are going to be donating to the kids, the hospital network. That's fucking awesome for something that we didn't really like set up a lot beforehand, that we're going to do the donation. But thank you, everyone who donated. That's fucking cool. And we also have the Grit Fridge, which we are giving away to three people. We said we're going to give away one Grit Fridge. We're giving away three. So we'll tweet this out as well. But where's the text message I sent? Fuck. We have two different text messages. Oh, Hank just... Okay. Salvatore Taramina. That's a good fantasy fuckboy's mm-hmm. name. You want a Grit Fridge. Derek Gillingham. You want a Grit Fridge. And Sydney Quito. You want a Grit Fridge. So shout out those people. Thank you, everyone who used the hashtag. Those people will be getting Grit Fridges. So I'm going to bum us out later in the segments. Do we want to do... Should we do Who's Back?
Let's do some Who's Back in a week.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, who's back of the week?
Who's back? Should I go first?
Hank, why don't you go first?
Hank, you always go first.
Why are you being passive aggressive?
Usually I get queued up. I don't want to speak out of turn.
Why are you being coy, Roy?
Who's back of the week is Ants.
Oh, okay.
So last week we talked when Bryson was trying to get the rules official to give him a drop because there were some ants nearby. Mm-hmm. This weekend our boy Blake Koepka, aka Brooks, he trolled him. He hit it into a similar area
That was the same day. That was on Thursday. Bryson flipped out because there were two.
It was the next day.
It was the next day.
Thursday there were two ants around, and then right. and then the next day,
the next day,
the next day, Blake did that.
Right.
That's what I said.
Anyway. I thought you said last week.
Well, on Thursday's show we talked about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was last week.
Right.
On Friday's episode
we talked about Bryson on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Follow up. Brooks hit it into the same place.
Okay, PFT.
And he trolled Bryson.
I honestly don't remember talking about Bryson on Thursday.
He went up to the rules official and he was like, "Can I get a drop? There's ants over here," and the rules official started to come over. He's like, "I'm just kidding." So he was trolling him around.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. And then there was this tweet, which apparently is from 2019, but it's still scary nonetheless. It was going viral. It said, 1 million cannibal ants trapped in Soviet nuclear weapons bunker have escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
So are they, is this like a Spider-Man situation?
No, it's more like a Rat Island situation.
What about an Ant-Man situation? Paul Rudd.
Or is this like a like Ukraine, is this like a nuclear meltdown situation?
No, it's just like, instead of regular ants, they're nuclear ants that could kill you.
Hey, and they're cannibals. You should tweet that. You should tweet that tweet at Bryson every morning. Just to scare him.
The ants escaping?
Dude, Blake is the best. Bryson's such a bitch, and then Blake's like, "Hey, dude, we play golf. Chill the fuck out and play golf."
So when Bryson did that, when I saw the video and shit of him freaking out about the two fire ants, I thought it was fake. I could not believe that it was real.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that a grown man would be like, "There's one ant here," and then wait, I've got two ants near my ball. And then he calls a rules official over to alert them to the fact that there are two ants next to his ball. He's just, I don't want to say that I respect what a bitch he is, but because I don't.
No.
But I like having a bitch.
No, he's.
I like having a bitch around that you can be like, "Hey, that's a bitch."
If he had like a little bit of "I'm in on the joke" sensibility to it, it would be totally different, but he doesn't.
No.
He does not. And so we need Brooks, the common man, the people's golfer, to keep him in check. And that was great. Great by Brooks. Bryson, you're still a bitch.
And then Bryson said that he hopes that he can live to be 130 or 140.
God.
Maybe in dog years.
I really
the guy from Parks and Rec.
Hope I don't live Rob that Lowe. Long because And I'd have to be on the same earth as Bryson.
Yeah, Bryson's really challenging. He's playing chicken with all of us.
Yeah, right. Like, you wanted to live to your 90s? Well, guess what? That's another 55 more years of Bryson DeChambeau.
It's Bryson being like, hey, I'm going to live till I'm 140 and challenging all those peers to not kill themselves.
He would be such an asshole, too, if he got to 140. He'd be telling everyone about it.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole town. Hey, I'm 140. I'm Bryson DeChambeau.
Still wearing those stupid fucking hats.
Dude, hey, Bryson, just a heads up. You know what's not good for your health? Steroids.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's bad when you're roid raging against ants.
Yeah.
That's an
issue.
And
life expectancy.
Check yourself. Yeah.
Both those things.
Yeah. He's roid raging against his own biological clock. Against his own
against
body.
Science
he's
in like, the census.
Yeah. You'd be a bitch, Bryce, if you're going to die when you're 100.
All right, PFT, who's back?
My who's back of the week is Mike Glennon.
Yes.
Mike Glennon is back, baby, because, bless you, Hank, because Gardner Minshew has opted out of the 2020 NFL season, and I had to look up who the Jaguars' backup quarterback is. Turns out it's Mike Glennon. So we've got him back. The neck is back. How amazing would that be if Mike Glennon went out there and tore shit up, and then Nick Foles was a quarterback for the Bears and stunk?
Oh, it'd be so great.
So many Photoshops. Listen, hey, this is what it could look like if Mike Glennon was a Bears quarterback.
I've been down the Glennon whole thing. He is not a good quarterback. Holy shit, not a good quarterback.
You know what he's really good for, though? Every year we have to have at least one quarterback that's the perfect person for half of Twitter to quote tweet and be like, Colin Kaepernick isn't on an NFL team, but this person
yes.
is. Mike Glennon is Mike the Glennon. Perfect person to focus
Forever.
All your attention on there.
By the way, Liam and I were talking before the show. I hope that through everything that happens in this world in this past year, the one thing that we keep going with is whenever we just quit something, we say opt out. Because it's great. Like, I'm going to start opting out. Like
dinner.
When I'm, yeah, or like...
That's a bad example, actually.
No, when I start losing in a video game, I'm opting out.
Is it a rage
I'm
quitting?
Not quitting. I'm opting out. I'm simply opting out. Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell me I can't opt out?
Mm-hmm.
This workout? Opting out.
I like that. Yeah, it's a way nicer way of saying no. Yes. I'm just not going to do that.
I'm just a quitter, dude. Yeah. I'm just opting out. And I'm not belittling anyone who is opting out because there's actual health issues. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we need to recapture opting out for our pathetic reasons that we're actually pussies in our real life.
Can
like
we,
they're not,
yeah.
but we are. So we're going to take opt out and use it for our lame.
We're
going
to co-opt it. Co-opt
right.
out.
Right.
Could we just opt out of doing a podcast?
Yeah, we could opt out on anything, dude.
Yeah.
But imagine you send in your opt out letter.
I'm opting out of sex.
I'm out of here. I'm opting out.
Dontrell Willis is pitching tonight.
Someone who's listening right now who might be thinking, considering quitting their job sometime in the future, please do it by opting out.
That'd be great. I actually would be curious to see if somebody could quit their job, but say that they're opting out and then still collect a salary.
Try it. Let us know how it goes.
It's worth giving it a shot.
Yes, opting out. I didn't realize Gardner opted out. That sucks.
Yeah, he opted out today. I don't know. I'm very unclear about the rules.
CJ Mosley opted out. The Jets are going to be... That's a problem for the Jets.
So that's just not wanting to play for the Jets. You're just opting out of playing for either the Jets or Mets. It should also always be a free pass.
Wait, I don't think he opted out. I think he just caught Corona.
No. Mosley?
Gardner Minshew?
Yeah.
Or Mosley? I'm pretty sure Mosley opted out.
I think they both opted out.
Minshew did not opt out. Oh, wow.
Really?
PFT, your entire PFT.
Jaguars placed 5 players on the reserve / COVID-19 list.
That's just like, that's like a, he's just Corona.
PFT's having
he has all, he has
PFT,
Corona.
You should opt out of
this.
I was on the same page as PFT.
But wait, when
defense.
I saw that.
I want to opt out.
Yeah, when saw that, what did it seemed like he was opting out, right?
Yes, but it's still being negotiated and finalized, but the players opt out deadline at this point is looking like Wednesday.
So he just has Corona right
now. So they put him on the list of players that aren't going to be training because of Corona.
Okay.
So
would you like to opt out of this episode?
No.
Apparently,
that
there's
could
5
be.
Players, and apparently 3 of them, they're all roommates. Minshew,
got it.
Walker, and Wingard.
I was going to say, Gardner Minshew doesn't seem like a guy who's going to opt out.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have a family. I get it. For people who have families, and like, there's real reasons guys are opting out, and I totally understand it. But I'd be shocked if Minshew did.
Okay, because he falls in the same category as Matt Stafford. So both those players, it's a list. The COVID-19 list is for players who either tested positive or who have been quarantined after having been in close contact with an infected person or persons. We're all learning together here.
So he has not opted out.
So neither one of those players have opted out, as far as I can tell, but they are on the COVID-19 list, which means that they're Siebes. They're just chilling for a while until they test positive. All the tests come back negative.
Got it. So we could have no Glennon.
We could have... Well, Glennon is going to be there.
But we could have no Glennon that we have to watch.
I think that the probability is high that we have a Mike Glennon sighting this year.
Do you think Gardner Minshew is going to opt out?
No.
I hope not. He's fun. He will keep the Jaguars fun.
Yep. If the Jaguars want to tank, go with Glennon. That's all I'm saying.
They could go with Gardner, too, and just have fun and lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more aesthetically pleasing way to tank with Gardner Minshew versus Mike Glennon.
I don't think there's a quarterback room in the NFL that has two different starting quarterbacks that are so different as Gardner Minshew and Mike Glennon.
Yeah,
they don't even speak the same language.
Yeah, they're like a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, my Who's Back of the Week is Darren Revelle. Darren Revelle's back. He's fucking clapping back, boys.
I'd like to opt out of this part of the segment.
Dude, he's clapping back. Darren Revelle's clapping back so much that he does this thing where when he claps back on someone, he'll then post it on his Instagram, too, to show the world how much he clapped back. You ready for this clap back? Someone said, Darren, I don't know you in real life, but judging you from your Twitter persona, you literally would be the last person invited to any of the fun shit I'm going to later today. And he clapped back with, as a 42-year-old man with a wife and three children, an awesome BBQ, and a great backyard, I doubt I would come even if you invited me.
Roasted.
Dude, he's got
as a father
a wife,
of three.
Three kids. I also like that he used awesome BBQ and great backyard, but he just plainly said his wife and three children.
Uh-huh.
Like he wasn't like, I have a great wife and three amazing children. No. The super relatives are meant for the BBQ and the great backyard.
What kind of barbecue do you think Darren actually has?
Flexes an awesome BBQ?
I highly doubt that Darren Revelle's barbecue is awesome. I think he's probably got a mid-range
backyard because he posted on Instagram like every 2 minutes.
What kind of barbecue
does
he have?
It's
fine. He has a huge backyard.
Yeah, I know. Sure he does. Who says I have an awesome BBQ?
Nobody that has an awesome BBQ has one.
A dork.
I...
You do? You say you have an awesome BBQ?
I have a secondhand Weber that...
Yeah, exactly.
Is sick.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Billy, awesome. When you described it, you know what you said? You said what you had. You said, I have a secondhand
I have
Weber.
A pre-owned Weber.
Yes, if you have an awesome BBQ, you don't say, I have an awesome BBQ. You say, I took half of an oil drum and I cleaned it out with my buddies.
Yeah.
We welded in a couple racks.
Trash fires.
You explain exactly what your barbecue is, if it's awesome. An awesome BBQ, you know what that tells me? It tells me he's got a fucking propane tank that he has to wheel in and out like a bitch every week.
Mm-hmm.
And probably two burners on that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I got an awesome chicken coop in my backyard.
An awesome mm-hmm. BBQ. You want to come over to my awesome BBQ? Everyone's BBQ is awesome. It's fun. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're just grilling meats. It's pretty fucking cool. I love that was a clapback.
If you have a little green egg, you say, I have a little green egg.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, hey, I've got a pretty cool meat smoking device out back.
So yeah, 42-year-old man with a wife and three children and an awesome BBQ.
I can't believe he's 42.
Yeah. It always is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
He's got the brain of a 140-year-old Bryson DeChambeau.
Dude, it's like Wilford Brimley, RIP. That guy has been old his whole life.
Yes.
I mean, he was born old.
Yeah. I mean, the diabetes guy. When you're known as being the spokesperson for a debilitating disease, mm-hmm. when you're alive that long, it's always shocking.
And your
when
name's
you do
Wilford?
Pass away. Yeah.
They don't make Wilfords anymore.
I'd say first all
first
team.
Oh, we got the opt-out list.
Opt-out list.
Diabetes.
Anybody new here?
Lorenzo Cain did opt out recently.
Okay.
And Yoenis Cespedes, which we will get to.
I like when they just use the MLB logo instead of the team logo.
Tyson Ross,
it's like
he
this person
team, yeah.
is opting out of being an athlete this year.
This person's months. Opting out, but no one wanted him on their team anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he's opting out.
That's a great use of the
opt-out. Yeah, right. All right, Billy, finish us off. Who's back of the week?
Who's back of the week? Do a real quick one. Murder Hornets. There's another link posted that they're back and whatever, but I don't want to give them airtime.
Okay.
You know what you're doing, Billy? You're falling for the New York Post quote tweet Olympics
mm-hmm.
game. They've been on a fucking tear recently, and they're getting you too.
They're just trying to make a story where they're on the hunt for this like murder hornet nest, and they need to find it before there's a second nest and they spread and it's too late. And I was like, you know, that's like get Bruce Willis on that as like an exterminator or something. But my real who's back of the week is Seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, it's August.
Yeah, that's not the change
still,
of the season.
Still summer.
Sunday of summer.
Sunday of summer.
Well, September's still summer.
No, I mean, August for me is always like, oh, it's Sunday.
Oh, because back to school.
Yeah.
You're still in the mode where, like,
I got you.
You go to the department store with your mom, and you see backpacks on sale, and you start and sweating.
Like, yeah. Dude, the back to school commercials are always the worst.
I'm having a little bit of, like, anxiety. Like, oh, shit. Like, what the fuck?
So now I welcome to the real world. Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, your summers are meaningless.
It's actually August is great now because football's around the corner.
Should I just drop out of school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You should have done that 3 years ago.
I'm opting out of college.
Oh, Billy, I'm opting out of college. First, try to get a bunch of your teammates to like make demands, just in case they give you some shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like, you saw what happened. What's going on with the Pac-12?
Yes,
the players they're banding together, and they're like, "Hey," which to their credit, like, it doesn't really seem like colleges have thought out the whole. We have students on campus and athletes on campus together, and they're both taking different precautions. So to their credit, it's like, yeah, we're not being looked after, and we're here to make money for you, so why don't you do something about it? You should still, like, just try to get one last thing out
for
of them.
For D3 football players?
Yes. Yeah.
Yo, credit to Pac-12. They obviously read Art of the Deal because they anchored the fuck out of that negotiation.
They did.
They were asking for some crazy shit.
They
just pass go, and they're like, yeah, we want to be paid too.
Yeah,
I love it.
Might as well.
Yeah.
What's the worst they're going to say? Like, the very worst thing that could happen is you're at the same place that you're at now. So why not ask for everything?
Yeah, ask for money, and you might wind up with some, like, good COVID tests.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they're hoping for.
Yeah. We'll give you a mask, but all you have to do is ask for everybody.
They know Larry Scott's not going to do it, so they got to fucking, you know, shoot for the moon. All right, yeah, so you should opt out.
List the demands.
I can see Larry's
demand. Neil swipes for beer.
Larry Scott, right?
Yeah, he's the worst commissioner in all of sports.
I could see Larry Scott implementing a Schrutbucks type system where he just make, like, Scott's dollars, and he just hands out, like, $20 per practice that you attend to all the players, which will be redeemable in like 30 years for a piece of his estate.
He's why the Pac-12, you can't watch like half the games. He's why like it's very funny if you actually look into it. Like, the SEC commissioner's office is like the second floor of a walk-up in like Birmingham, Alabama, and Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner's office is like a high-tech startup in San Francisco, like in the most expensive place to get real estate. And he just, like, that's the kind of shit he does and just takes money from the schools.
How bad does he want to admit Hawaii just so he can put his office out in Honolulu?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
He's a fucking idiot. So shout out to Pac-12 for at least those players for at least anchoring the negotiation to maybe get some proper testing and whatnot.
I'm not really smart enough to understand all the implications of everything that they're asking for, because I've seen a lot of people arguing back and forth about how much money would be for certain things, what it would mean for different sports. I'm just happy if the players are able to start making money like anybody else would be. If they go to school, like, if you go to college, if you're not a student athlete, you can get a job.
Right.
You can make money. Players should be able to get a job, and they should also be able to profit off their name and likeness.
My rule is pretty easy. When there's something that when there's an issue that comes up with, you know, whether or not they should pay the players, just read Doug Gottlieb's Twitter and then do the opposite.
Yep.
And then if he tweets too much, just opt out of the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
If I was a football coach, I would want my players to be able to profit off their likeness, because then they'd all start becoming Twitch streamers and they'd just be playing video games to make money.
And they would suck at football.
No. But then instead of like Friday night, like, you know, they're not getting in trouble. They're legitimately just being nerds.
They're just like drinking Mountain Dew, taking Adderall, staying up till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, if they're playing
not
Madden,
lifting.
Yeah,
that's
if playing
fine.
Madden.
Yeah.
No, but if they're gamers, then in their off time, that they game anyway, so they're just not going out and getting in trouble.
Mm. Yeah, so are NCAA athletes allowed to be Twitch streamers?
They're not allowed to get money.
No, they're not allowed to get money.
Not even from Twitch?
No.
Nope.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
What about from TikTok? That's from China.
China, actually. Well, did you see the Clemson TikTok? Oh, my God. The Clemson players doing it? They do that, the Taylor Swift TikTok. It's really cringy.
I did not watch it.
It's pretty cringy.
I'm going to opt out of that.
Okay.
All right, so you're officially opting out of school?
Not officially. I may opt out of on campus.
Okay.
But so I might be doing homework all the time.
Can we take your classes for you?
Sure, that'd be actually
amazing. We should
take
one class together.
Okay.
All right, I'm sure that's not, like, you probably would get in trouble, but we'll do it.
I wonder, what class are you taking that I could just, like, take one of your tests for you without doing any study?
I actually take pretty hard classes.
What class? Like, name your hardest
class.
Pretty
smart.
I think I'm taking like a
dinosaurs.
I'm taking a paleontology class. That's pretty hard.
Yes, dinosaurs.
You could have just said dinosaurs, dude.
It's paleontology.
All right, let's get to our interview with CJ McCollum.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, here he is, CJ McCollum. Okay, we now welcome on one of our favorite recurring guests. It's the second time on. The first time was electric. Everyone loved him. It is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers. CJ, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's talk about your wine real quick, because we're going to talk a lot of bubble talk, and I feel like wine is a must inside the bubble. So you've become, what is it? You're not a sommelier. How do you say it?
Sommelier.
Sommelier. What are you now? What are you?
I'm a proud owner of my own label, McCollum Heritage 91, in partnership with Adelsheim. I'm not a somm.
Okay.
I can tell you a little bit about certain wines. I can tell you what to pair with certain wines. I know the very basics. I know the process of making wine, but I won't pretend to be able to complete blind tastings like we see on Netflix.
Okay.
That's pretty smart on your part, though, because the NBA in general has gotten really into wine, I feel like, over the last, like, 3 or 4 years. I don't know if that was, like, LeBron that got it all started, that kind of, like, got everybody hooked on wine. He was like, hey, taste this one. First one's free. Next one's going to cost you. But it's nice on your part to cash in on that. And now you can distribute to, you know, your teammates, guys on other teams, and make a ton of money. So very smart business idea.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's been cool to be in the bubble. I had about 70 bottles shipped. It actually doesn't go on sale until September on McCollumHeritage91.com. But just kind of filling everybody out, you know, allowing them to taste the wine, get some feedback, get some reviews. They've been very positive considering how young the wine is with it being an 18. But I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to continue to learn more about wine and share and get through this bubble situation with some good grapes.
Okay, so let's talk about the bubble. From a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it? And have you had that moment where you're like, I can't complain, because Rondo kind of ruined it for everyone. When he said the Motel 6 thing, and everyone was like, wait, that's a nice hotel. So how is it for real?
I don't know if he's being sarcastic or not, but my room is great. I'm not going to take a picture of it or show you a video of it, but I'm happy with my accommodations. They've taken great care of me personally. Me and Dame were joking the other day. We were like, yeah, I can stay here for as long as I needed to, you know, honestly.
Okay,
yeah. But the thing you just miss most is being able to move around. You miss your family, your loved ones. That's the hard part. The food, you get used to it. There's some different options that they have daily. You're able to order some food from a few different places, catering services, restaurants, et cetera, that they've signed off on. But it's just the moving around aspect. You can't drive. There's shuttles that run to the other two hotels, but you can't go anywhere else. That's the tough part. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say 8.
Okay.
Because we're safe. Everyone's getting negatives. We're testing daily. Mm-hmm. They've done a great job of kind of controlling our situation. You can get wine in. You can get shipments in, which is very, very crucial, especially during these off days where you can lay by the pool and drink some bubbly. And I guess you get extra brownie points because we get to play. Although there's no fans, you get to go hoop and know that everybody is negative. Yeah.
What about the pay-per-view situation in the room? Who pays for that? Who's covering all that stuff at the end of the day? Is that coming out of your pocket, or is that the NBA?
Well, they dropped us off Fire Sticks. We got the Disney Plus. I don't know how to set up the Disney Plus yet, but I hear we get like a three-month free membership, so I'm gonna try to milk that.
That's nice. Save some money, yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine, too, though, it must be nice being able to – maybe hang out with guys, not only your own teammates, but guys you haven't seen in a while, with you guys all being in the same place. And is there like some element that's kind of a summer camp feel to it? Because maybe I'm just projecting here, but hanging out with everyone and being like, we're all stuck here, let's make a good time out of it, would be kind of fun.
Well, yeah, we've had some great nights telling a lot of stories, drinking a lot of wine over dinner, rotating who pays for it. It's definitely like an AAU tournament. It's like an all-boys school. Where obviously it's cool, but you do miss being able to leave. You do miss being able to do a lot of things that you weren't accustomed to doing, but we're all making the best of it. The fact that we can go to other hotels now is cool because you got friends on other teams. I think there's like six or seven teams in the yacht club, but there's two other hotels where you can go eat at their restaurants. You can go kick it with your friends. There's boats. There's different events you can do. They got barbers, mani-pedis. I can get my hair braided. There's beauticians here. They have like almost everything you could think of. They crossed their T's, they dotted their I's, and made it. I mean, no offense to the other sports, but I mean, you see what's happening with sports and how they haven't really been able to control it the same way we've been able to control it. And it's mainly because they don't let us do anything. They don't let us go anywhere, and they don't let anyone in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So is Adam Silver telling you directly that you need to beat the Grizzlies and lose to the Pelicans, or is that something that's just coming from your coach being like, hey, we need Zion in the playoffs?
That's happening.
I haven't talked to Adam specifically about Zion or the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm.
If you were beating the Grizzlies, would you expect to see one red dot on your chest walking home? Would there be one on the chest and then one right between your eyes?
The Blazers would all be asymptomatic. And whoops, you got to cancel the season.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're going to get a false positive when it's time. No, I think obviously Zion is the future of the league. It's clear. He's an extremely talented player. He's got a lot of different skill sets to offer. I'm sure the league would like to see, you know, certain matchups, but that ain't got nothing to do with us, man. We go out there and we do what we're supposed to do, and we like to ruin the party. We like to ruin parties for everyone, and we feel like we have a great chance, a situation where we get to play eight games and have a chance to make the playoffs. I guess you couldn't ask for more. It's just more so about how we execute, how we play, and we look forward to trying to get into this playoff.
Are you happy that getting stuffed by the rim, that happened in the preseason, so less people were watching? Or is it worse now because I'm bringing it up and people are like, wait, what happened?
The video is accessible online if you'd like to watch it.
That's why I never try to dunk, because that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was funny because the comments are hilarious. They're like, oh, he got a quarantine 15, or he drank too much wine, or is this, or is that. And it's like, no, I just missed a dunk. People miss dunks all the time.
Yeah.
You've seen us play in like 4 months, so you forgot. But I think I can handle those types of things because I think it's funny. Like I would laugh at the guy that happens to, so I can laugh with people when it's me. I look forward to dunking again and like actually being able to execute it better. Someone said that I should have some Sprite in my room or something like that because of the way I hit the rim, and it was reminiscent of that. But it's all fun and games, man. If you can't laugh at yourself, I think you just take life too seriously.
What's your mentality after you miss that dunk? Do you want to go up there and try it again? Do you want to throw it down? Or would you rather be like, okay, you know what? I need to settle back into my game, step back, hit a three, then I'll be good.
Well, I'm going to just keep it a buck with you. So I was stiff, man. Like, this is when I make up the excuses now.
Mm-hmm.
Coach told us before the game, he's like, yo, you're playing 20 minutes tonight. 10 minutes in the first quarter, 10 minutes in the third quarter. And I'm adding up. I'm like, coach, I don't want to sit the entire second quarter, sit for halftime, and then have to go back in after playing an hour ago. So, nah, you'll be fine. So we play the first quarter. We sit the entire second quarter, go through halftime. The third quarter starts. We're all looking at each other like, I'm like, damn, I'm stiff. You stiff? Yeah, everybody is tight, moving slow. And Nurk is back after 15 months. So Nurk gets the rebound, or I get the rebound, and he's yelling to me. He's like, throw it, go back door, go back door, like while he's coming up the court. So I'm like, bet. I hit Nurk, go back door, I catch the ball, and I just blacked out. I took it in stride, and I went back, and normally I go two hands for safety.
Uh-huh.
And I try to cock it back a little bit.
Yeah.
And as I'm jumping, I'm running out of talent. You know what I'm saying? My talent. I feel it. So I try to go as fast as possible. So I try to throw it down, like, quick, and I'm thinking, all right, I can overpower the rim.
Yeah.
So I don't overpower him. I hit the rim straight on. Bow. And then at that moment, I'm falling. I'm thinking, all right, you missed the dunk. Don't get hurt. So as I'm falling, I'm trying to turn and make sure I don't get hurt, because that's just insulted.
You would not have gone over that one.
If you get hurt, like getting stuffed by the rim, you might want to just retire. That might be like, it's okay. We've had a nice run. It's time to walk away.
Yeah, but I must say I executed a missed dunk flawlessly.
Yes, you did. You just ran out of talent. I like that. There's times when that happens. So in terms of like play and your team, do you guys feel like you are back where you were, like, you know, ended the season in March, or is it still a little rust around the league just trying to get everyone back up to speed?
I think most guys are close. I can speak for our team. I feel like a lot of people took care of themselves. Once they knew there was a chance we could come back, they started working out. There was plenty of time to kind of change your diet, you know, go back to getting in the gym, getting in shape, hydrating properly. And then being able to go through training camp in your markets. We went through, you know, weeks of individual workouts for most teams. Come here, you get to practice against each other. We've been here since July 7th or 8th. So you're looking at 3 weeks to 4 weeks of practice before you go into your first actual game. So I think for us, we feel good. We took good care of our bodies and are in shape. Most teams took it seriously. Some teams really needed this training camp to kind of get the rust out. But all in all, I think they've done a pretty good job of preparing us, and we can get treatment daily around the clock. I was getting dry needling at 10 p.m. last night to kind of recover and get ready for Friday. So the good thing about being in the bubble is there's no travel, there's no getting on planes, and it having to go through those things, you just take a 10-minute bus ride and then 10 minutes back.
I've got two off-the-record questions for you. So these are off-the-record. They're still going to be in the podcast, but they're off-the-record. First off-the-record question, who are some of those teams, hypothetically, that have been a little more rusty? Maybe they've been tighter and in the training room a lot, that sort of thing. Off-the-record.
Off-the-record. I mean, just you know who has a chance to make the playoffs and who doesn't, just quite frankly. Like, looking at how many games out you are, you got to be 3.5 games out to have a chance for the play-in. We're 3.5 games out as it stands right now. So we just have to continue to either keep pace or outpace Memphis, New Orleans, Sacramento. We have the head-to-head with Sacramento. We don't have the tiebreaker with New Orleans. So we have to have a better record, essentially.
Okay.
So for us, we're in the hotel with 6 or 7 teams, so it's us, Spurs, Memphis, Sacramento, Wizards, Suns, and I think that's it.
Okay.
You're the bubble hotel.
I got you. I understand what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down right now.
We're all the teams that are currently, as it stands, not in the playoffs.
Yes. So Wizards are looking great right now is what I'm hearing from you. John Wall is looking healthier than he's been in years.
John's not here. Shout out to my guy, John, and Brad. Brad, I don't know if Brad's here or not, and John's not here. He's training.
Yeah. So my second off-the-record question is, just what's the shooting been like in the bubble? Like, has there been an adjustment period? Do you expect for teams to be shooting at a lower percentage during these playoffs?
Well, it's weird, man. There's no fans. The backdrop is different. There's no travel. Everybody's more fresh because you have 4 months off. So I think guys will shoot the same or better, because some people that can't shoot actually worked on their games, and then some people just still can't shoot because it's just not in their nature. And
yep. That's me.
Okay.
Good Lord, they're giving that talent. But I think looking at what I've seen so far, it looks like most people worked on their games. It looks like most people will be pretty fresh to start. And I would expect guys to be really locked in, especially understanding you only got 8 games. It's one thing to have to play a whole season. It's another thing to know that, like, yo, we only got 8 games, and then we either make the playoffs or we don't. Let's just leave it all out there, go as hard as we can, not leave anything in the tank.
Do you think there'll be more or less trash talking? Because
more.
You think more. Even though we'll be able to pick it up a little bit, like the mics will pick it up better. You think there'll be more?
They're going to pick up some foul stuff. Based on what I've been hearing so far and the things that I say that normally can't be heard with fans, they're going to have to try to blurt out with crowd noise. They're going to try to delay it, but you're going to hear a lot of elite content.
Is the more trash talk because guys have to like amp themselves up more, and there's the lack of, I would imagine it's a little weird. You don't get that just adrenaline boost of coming out to a packed house. You have to kind of find it somewhere else. So is that why it's more? They're talking themselves into it a little bit?
Yeah, it's both. It's like you psych yourself out. You got to trick yourself into like, there's people here, watch it. Ah, I'm hype. And then the other part is it's like AAU. It's like playing with your friends.
Right.
You talk more trash against people you know, like your friends. And it's you score and it's Mm-hmm. So you kind of like yell curse words and obscenities just randomly to kind of pump yourself up. And then you like talk trash back and forth. And it's like they score and it's like, hitting threes. And then the other team scores. And then like you got somebody scoring on a smaller player and they're walking down the court like, he's a baby. He's a baby. Get the baby out the road. Like, you know, like random things. People are yelling out like, Benihana, it's time to cook. Like just random stuff, and then other things I can't say.
So what you're telling me is that a team that might have the strongest bench mob actually has a huge advantage because they've got a massive cheering section for them. They've got like a little home court advantage. So out of the teams that you've seen, which bench mob is the best?
I mean, we got a really good bench mob. I've watched a couple games on TV. The Lakers, they celebrate like every basket. Yep. They got dances. I've seen other teams like do choreography on free throws. There were like somebody sits, somebody stands, and then mm-hmm. they move around. It's like a roller coaster ride. Like everybody's doing different stuff, I guess, to kind of stay engaged, stay locked in. And you just need that momentum boost. Toronto Raptors, we played them. We were talking like crazy the whole game. The ref had to stop the game and say, look, man, if anybody else says anything, we're going to have to start throwing people out type of situation. So it was just fun. We know each other, but it's just fun to talk trash when it's an empty gym. There's nobody there. And you're competing. Like you're trying to win. And it becomes a little personal on the court. It's personal. Then when you leave, it's just business as usual.
Yeah.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Who keeps calling the snitch line? Have you called it?
I don't have the number. I've never been a snitch.
Oh, that's convenient.
You don't have the number? That sounds like you're denying too much. Yeah, no, they gave the number to everybody.
Live my life, man. Hey, long as nobody's bringing any positives in here, I don't really care. Like, do y'all thing, live y'all life, man. Leave me alone. I stay on my little corner suite. I'm ducked off out the way. I got my wine. I got my water. I got some Oregon's Finest. So I'm just enjoying my situation.
Okay. Snitch line, though. Someone's calling it. Someone's calling the snitch line.
Oh, people are definitely calling the snitch line 100%. I've heard about it. People complaining about people not wearing masks. And it's interesting, man. I'm not one to judge people, man. Everybody's going to live their best life. As long as you're not coughing around me or potentially like exposing me to the virus, I don't care what you do. Just stay away from me. Let me stay in my little space and live my life.
Yeah, so maybe keep like an extra 6 feet between you and Michael Porter Jr. I feel like that might be a good idea for right now. Have you had the snitch line called on you?
Not that I know of. I mean, I don't know what you would tell on me for doing. Like, I'm just out here living my best life in the bubble. Like, mm-hmm.
I feel like some teams have designated snitches where they say, okay, we need you to call up the two best players on every team that we play against.
Or definitely. What about calling the snitch line? Be like, CJ tried to dunk and he's not about that life.
CJ ran out of talent.
CJ ran out of talent. Hit the rim hard. I'm a scorer, man. I get buckets, man.
That's you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that I've had a long stay woke. There's a gym in New York where Mello, who we got to talk about, Slim Mello, he practices with a bunch of pros. I think you maybe have been there too. I'm convinced that the basket is bigger because everyone just, like, no one misses at that gym. But I've seen your training videos. Do you edit them? Do you make sure that it's always just buckets? Because it is incredible how good you look in your training videos. But that's everyone, I guess.
I mean, I look good in games too, but...
True. Yes, you do. But what's behind the training video? When you put out a training video,
no,
are
I
you
think
like,
it,
let's keep that one out? Let's keep that brick out?
No, I clip all my stuff. So you'll see makes misses too, depending on what they catch. But we're such elite shooters that, like, even the worst player on the team is great in the empty gym.
It's like, crazy. Yeah.
Unbelievable how, like, locked in, how the mechanics, everything falls into line. If you catch the right person shooting for 2, 3, 4 minutes, they might not miss. So if you just record a 1 minute video on Instagram, it's 1 minute of just makes. It may be 20 makes in a row. Like, I can make 25, 50, 60 shots in a row. And if you clip it for 1 minute, it's going to look like I didn't miss because I didn't miss for 1 minute.
Right.
I think that's the misconception fans get, is that you watch center shoot, like Dwight Howard can shoot threes, JaVale McGee. If they enter gym by themselves, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And you just see 8 makes in a row and be like, well, why doesn't he do it in the game? It's like, well, that's not his role. That's not his job, but he is capable. There's so many players that are capable of doing things, especially in a gym by themselves. It's just more about opportunity. And I think that, you know, that gym, the gym that we play in the summertime, guys make shots because, for one, we don't play much defense at all. And for two, everybody's fresh. It's the summertime. You're living your best life. And there's no worries. Like, everybody just out there hooping. There's no plays being called. There's no interviews after the game or none of that stuff. You just go out there and hoop like a child, and then you go home.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it once, but it put it all into perspective. They're like, the difference between the NBA and everything else is, if you took the 10th best player on an NBA roster, they would be the best shooter on every single college team across the board. Like, without a doubt, like, any you know, big men, small men, whatever it is, just pick the 10th best shooter on an NBA team, and they are the number one option for every single college team.
Yeah, depending on what team, because obviously there are some players that are elite. Like, you know, like, if you want to win back to, like, put J.J. Redick
right,
in college,
or right,
like a shooter in college, like, he's going to be the best shooter. But for the most part, NBA players, like, the last guy on the bench is, like, an animal.
Right. Like, just doesn't really miss. Yeah,
really just not playing.
Right.
So
he's just buying another animal.
So yeah. how do the elite of the elite get ready that separates them from, like, the guys that might be the 5th or 6th best shooter on the team? Like, mentally, do you meditate? What do you do to get in the mindset to go out there and not worry about all that shit and just execute the mechanics?
Everything, man. Like, I read, man.
Holy
I got my
shit.
You can see.
Whoa. Damn. Who are you trying to impress?
Look, think about it. I'm in a bubble by myself. There's nobody here. I'm just trying to improve my knowledge and overall understanding of life. But I think it's that 2% to 10%, right? It's the mental edge. It's the ability to lock in. It's the ability to focus. We all good. We all have talent. We all have the same resources. We got elite trainers. We all can hire chefs. We all can do those things. It's just about the discipline and then the ability to be able to overcome obstacles, right? So some people are great when everything's going well, when they're successful, when they're making shots, everything's great, everything in your life is going well. Some people can't handle the opposite. Failure, missed shots, media talking about you, your relationship might not be going well, family stuff might be going on, that all that affects your performance. Some people have the ability to compartmentalize everything. Like, may Kobe rest in peace, he could compartmentalize everything. Like, when things are going well, when things aren't going well, they have an ability to lock in like that, like LeBron, Tom Brady, some of the elites, Pat Mahomes, you could put him in the conversation now, like the switch that goes off to where down 25, down 28, doesn't matter because they still think they're the greatest. They still think they're unstoppable, still think they're the best. Some people waver. Some people get unsure of themselves, and that's why there's 2% of the elite, and then there's the 98%, the 99% that are really good, have the talent, have the ability, don't have the mindset, mm-hmm. they don't have the drive, or they don't have the discipline.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, on a if you have a game and you warm up and you feel good, do you tell everyone on your team, like, this is me tonight? Like, make sure I get the ball. And has that ever backfired? Have you ever thought that you had it and then it's like, whoa, whoops, don't have it. Thought I did.
I've had both situations happen. I've made every shot in warm ups. Like, I've shot and, like, gone through my spots, my routine, and not missed for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good night. And I've missed every shot in the game. I've gone through warm-ups and missed every shot. Like, I have to make 10 free throws in a row when I finish, 2 swishes. I go through, like, a series of swishes, makes, off the dribble, catch and shoot. I've gone through it, and I have a 20-minute slot. It's taken me 35 or 40 minutes. Like, I've been shooting in someone else's slot to try to finish,
right,
thinking it's going to be a terrible game. 40. So, like, it's – once you get in the game and you get into rhythm, like, it's hit or miss. Like, things shift and change, but your mindset – my mindset never changes. Like, I can miss every shot – I could be 0 for 12, 13 is going in. Miss 13, 14's got to go in. It's 14. Oh, that means I got to make 14 in a row. Like, it's only a matter of time before I say law of averages. So for me, that's how it's always been. But for some people, they're superstitious. They got to do this. They got to do that. Me, it's like I've tried everything just to throw off that mindset of I have to do this. I can take a nap or I can not take a nap. I can FaceTime my girl. I cannot FaceTime my girl, but I'm still going to be locked in and able to play.
In those pregame shoot-arounds, or just in practice in general, what is Dame's range like when he's going through his routines? Does he sit and do like 50-foot shots and just practice those, or what's that like?
He can comfortably shoot from half court. He's strong. He's got like the wrist flexion is crazy. He's got a good dip. He works on it. He knows how to get the proper arc on the ball, and it's almost like a set shot, but it's not for him because it's just like it's really effortless. He doesn't really jump. But he works on that stuff, and that's the thing. People at home watch and they're like, well, why do they do this or why do they do that? And it's like we've all practiced everything that we do. I don't go out there and just experiment. I work on stuff and then I translate that to the game. It's like the pre-draft, the rough draft, to the final paper. So for him, he works on 30-footers. He works on 40-footers. He works on step backs left, step backs right. Just like the shot he hit against the Thunder, they literally had video of him doing that same shot in OKC the night before game one, the night before game two, the night before game three. Like his trainer, Phil Beckner, shout out to Phil, he actually just had somebody take a picture. And he's like, I had a feeling that he was going to need to shoot a shot from this far. Like, did Dame have to shoot it from 40 feet? No, he didn't have to.
I'm really glad that he did, though. It was awesome.
I'm glad that he did, too. It made for an epic ending. And that picture, I got to get that picture signed, like this one waving away, so I can laugh about it in 10 years and 15 years.
Yeah, you're right. The striking thing about that shot is when he shoots it, it looks like a normal person shooting a three-point shot. He's not like carrying a bunch of momentum forward. His limbs aren't flying out. He's not, you know.
It's the mechanics. The fact that you guys do mechanics in like the craziest spots and it just nothing breaks. Like that's like the Ray Allen. Allen taking a shot and he could be, you know, coming off a ball screen, going momentum all the way to the left, and he gets his perfect like body square and everything. It's like, how do you do that? I don't know. You guys are crazy.
It's reps. It's repetition. It's confidence. It's understanding. And then your body gets used to it. Like, have you ever – it's probably like a bad comparison, but have you ever driven home and like did I stop at a red light? Like,
Zone out. Yeah.
It's like, damn, did I turn left? Like, how did I get here? So, you know what I mean? That's how it is when you're hooping. Like, you do it every day. Like, your body just kind of takes control. And you just kind of let your body react to certain things. And then I'll watch the film and I'll be like, damn, I did that.
Mm-hmm. That's gotta be a like, cool experience.
That's like me looking at my debit card statement on like a Sunday morning.
No, but
me and you are the same. Yeah.
No, but that actually happens. Sometimes we'll do a podcast and I'll be like, what did we talk about?
Yeah.
And people are like, that was a great show. And it's like, I don't even remember
that's
what we
true.
Talked about.
People will like tweet us something that we said and I'm like huh? Wow, I must have blacked out and just ran my mouth off about something I don't know about.
Do this all the time.
These are the blackouts without the alcohol.
Yes. Slim Mello. How slim is he?
That's my guy. My guy, Slim Mello. He loves the nicknames, too, by the way. So make sure you guys reinforce this.
Okay. But
he's definitely slim. He's taking great care of himself, especially over the break. We got a little bit of time in on the track. We did some running. We walked our dogs. We were like living the all-American dream, honestly, of the quarantine life out there in the middle of nowhere, walking dogs and conditioning, juicing and drinking wine. But he's taking great care of himself. He's slim. He's in good shape. He's ready to play. And I mean, you guys seen the video. He wearing them short shorts, got his whole leg out, and is proud of the progress he's made as chef. They've done a great job. And I told him he should have been in Oregon a long time ago. I ain't gonna go into the details, but he's doing really well, and we're looking forward to making this playoff push, man. I think that we're in a position to hopefully do some real damage.
And Melo's one of those guys that, you know, his career's lasted so long. Obviously, people, you know, make jokes online, but he is one of those guys. When you watch him warm up or work in the gym in the summer, he literally does not miss. He is – it's so insane. You remind yourself, like, oh, yeah, Carmelo Anthony's one of, like, the best pure scorers, like, ever. It's insane.
Yeah, it's 25,000-plus points for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, that's consistency. It's like the 10,000-hour rule. You know what I mean? You become an expert at something. He's got millions of hours.
Yes.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like walking a dog. It's like literally walking a dog changing a diaper. As you become a parent, it just becomes easier and easier. Then you just get used to it, and it's a habit or nature. So he's a walking bucket. It will be a walking bucket the rest of the time.
I like that, the walking bucket.
Oh, yeah.
That's a sick nickname, oh, yeah, too.
Are you and Kevin Durant good now? You know, we have it was like 2 years ago that you came on, and I this whole podcast started beef that went viral between the two of you.
That was strategic game planning, man. We took advantage of the system.
Yep.
We recorded the podcast. I left him some wine, and in return, he helped boost my ratings. And I'm thankful for it, honestly. That's my homie to this day. That's my homie. And I got to check on him and see how he's doing. I know he's getting close to returning and looking forward to getting back out there on the court.
Yeah. It also gave us the most, I guess it was like 2018, but whatever, this time, it might have been 2019 line ever. I just did your fucking podcast, which that's like pretty much, that's like the biggest sign of disrespect.
It's like, I went to your wedding, Denise.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah,
like, and the funnier part is that I'm in China while all this is happening, so I'm getting the news slow. I'm like 6 a.m. my time, like lifting and like starting my day, and then I'm on Twitter and I'm trending. I'm like, what is this? So I'm like, let me hit him on the side. Like, what is this before I curse him out on Twitter? Like, what's going on here?
Man.
Were you hurt by the snake emoji?
Ooh. I thought it was hilarious, man. It was really funny. It was well done on both our parts, honestly.
Yeah,
you guys played us.
I
bought
it. The USD people were reaching out to like our staff, like, is CJ and Katie all right? I'm like, yo, we're good. I just talked to him yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. We're good.
And they all cut my tweet out of it. They cut my tweet out. Like, everyone would just tweet just your reply to me and then his reply to you. It's like, wait, hold on. So, but that's just how the internet works.
Yeah, I mean, you played us like a fiddle, to be honest with you. Although, like, I don't believe you, but I do believe that Kevin Durant would do something like that. He would be engaged in a scheme like that to try to, like, just boost his friend's podcast ratings. In this case, I think he actually did unironically tweet the snake emoji at you.
Yes.
No, he did that on purpose for sure. Like, the snake emoji was like the icing on the cake. That would have been like me putting the cupcake in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the clown. Yeah,
good point.
The clown emoji is always a good one, too. That just gets under your skin.
You also had a beef with, you called Skip Bayless, what did you call him, Scrap something? What did you call him? You burned Scrap him Bayless. Good. Scrap Bayless. That's good. That's good burn. Why'd you call him Scrap Bayless?
Get me to come on the show, man. They just trying to get me to boost their ratings. I told them no, but you're welcome to come on my podcast.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
power shift it.
Yeah, he did. You tweeted 1.4 points per game. That's the worst part about Skip Bayless, the fact that anyone found out that he averaged 1.4 points per game. Because when he just bashes people nonstop, you can just throw it right back in his face.
Like, how do I argue with you? Like, you average 1 point a game and you play junior varsity for life.
You know how hard it is to average 1.4 points a game?
Skip probably wishes he never played basketball.
That's like
that would be way better.
Impossible to do.
That means you don't make one layup a game.
Yeah, I would rather average 0 points a game than 1.4 points.
No, you'd rather not play.
Yes.
Yeah. Skip Bayless definitely, in his heart of hearts, was like, I wish I did not play junior varsity basketball because it would be better to not have played than to average 1.4 points per game.
He would have been better off doing the box scores.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, just being a journalist through and through.
He should have been wiping the sweat off the floor with the towel.
Oh. I respect your commitment to the podcast publicity game, too. You understand that controversy gets eyeballs. Did you, be honest with me, when you found out that the NBA was being suspended for the year, that was not live on your podcast, right? You said, I'm going to pretend like I'm recording my podcast so I can give a live reaction to it. And then people be like, oh, shit, CJ found out live on his podcast.
By the way, his podcast is Pull Up with CJ McCollum, him and Jordan Schultz. Sorry, I want to throw that in plug for you. But, yeah.
No, please plug. But here's the thing. That's genius. What you're talking about is genius. But word to mother on everything I love, I was literally doing a podcast with Mello. In my office, we're sitting here doing a podcast. We got a game the next day, and I get a text from the NBPA early. They text me an hour before the release. They're like, yo, the season's about to get canceled. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Players have tested positive. And I'm like recording. I'm like, what? So I'm like, yo, Mel, some players have tested positive. Season's about to get canceled. He like, fuck out of here. And I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, season's about to get canceled. So 20 minutes later, I'm watching, like, I got my TV here to the right. Me and Mello are sitting like this. Ashley comes from my agency, sitting right here recording. That's like taking pictures so I can post on social. And I'm watching the game, and I watch, like, the Oklahoma City Thunder and somebody else, leave the floor. Like, you know, you warm up, like the buzzer goes off, they leave the floor. And I'm like, wow, this is real time. Like, this is really happening. So I go to the cellar, crack open two bottles, and I'm like, look, we ain't playing tomorrow. We might as well have ourselves a night. And that's literally what happened. I couldn't have scripted it better. And the funny part is that the podcast wasn't going to come out until the next day anyway. So we recorded it. I sent it to my producer. They chopped it up and they put it out in the morning.
So last time you were on, you gave us the Hezzy Hay. Do you have any variations off the Hezzy Hay or new moves that you've been working on that you're going to unveil?
Give me a situation, because around campus, I've been euroing people. You know what I'm saying?
In the hallways?
Ginobili! I've been hitting people with James Harden! But you know what I'm saying? Like, it just depends on my mood. You got to give me a situation, a scenario, and then I'll give the streets something, because I know the streets need something.
Okay. ISO, you're down one with 15 seconds left. ISO, you're on the right side. Everyone's cleared out to the left. You're going up against James Harden. What do you do?
Oh, yeah. Move. Everybody get out the way. Mm-hmm. I got one. This, you know, when you say you got one, that means, yeah, he can't check me. So okay. Hey now. I'm tween. Tween.
Tween. Tween.
Tween. Big tween. Cross. Big cross.
Big cross. Tween.
Right at him. Step back. Step back to freedom. Blast his face off.
Step back to freedom. Blast his face. Okay, here's one other scenario.
Pause.
Tween. You're in the – you just get off the elevator. You're walking down the hallway of your hotel, and it's one guy walking the other way. It's LeBron. That's it. What do you do? You give him a little?
He's walking the opposite way?
No, he's walking towards you. He's just a long hotel room. He's walking towards the elevator. You just walked off. No one else is around.
Well, that's the homie, so I just say what's up to him. But if I wanted to joke with him, I might Euro step him or something like that, or do his patented move where he like look at you, look down at you, shoot it,
mm-hmm. Yep. Dribble it really high.
Work my hands off, like. That's the homie. I grew up in Canton. I played for his team, so I've known him since I was like 12 or 13. So I'd just say what's up, ask him what's good.
Well, that's a perfect segue for my last question. What's up with your Browns, man? That was the most hyped up team in the history of pro sports, and we're Baker guys, so we're rooting for them. But damn, that sucked last year.
Yeah, it did. It did. And you know what sucks? You know what sucks? When you spend money and you go to road games on off days and you watch your Browns lose to the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On an off day?
Yeah.
On an off day? You know what I mean? Like that hurt my heart. Or you fly to Oakland and you watch your Browns blow a game against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Or you watch miss field goals, and then the refs call a late hit on Myles Garrett.
Oh,
lose to the Rams.
Yeah,
on prime time.
Yeah,
no, that hurt. We had some close losses, but I think that's what builds character. Honestly, like we have to learn how to win. We have to learn how to play together. All this talent, we have all these pieces, but we didn't know how to use them. We didn't know how to utilize them properly. So I think now, I've been going through a full season. OBJ is healthy. Baker's locked in. He understands what's at stake here. You got all these weapons around you. He knows how to use them now. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Miles got paid. You know, he got some of that anger out the way on Rudolph.
Yep.
And looking forward to coming back and having a Pro Bowl year. We got Juice. We got an all-pro, all-world all-pro, all-world running back. We have the pieces. We brought in receivers. We brought in tight ends. So now it's just about, can we all stay negative, for one? Because there's no season with a bunch of positives.
Mm-hmm.
Can we execute? And can we go 9-7 to get in as the wild card? Because I feel like if we can get into the playoffs with our talent, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. So I like that you're doing 9-7.
It's good.
Before the season last year, what were you thinking? 12-4?
10-6.
10-6?
I was 6-9-7, but I didn't factor in – a lot of different things. Like, I didn't factor in losing Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone did in that respect.
That threw a little wrench into things. But I didn't factor in some of those close losses that we always seem to have as Browns.
Yeah, didn't factor in that you had, like, basically a fan coaching the team. That hurts as well. That always is tough. We love Freddie Kitchens. We'd have him on the podcast in 2 seconds, but Freddie would admit himself. Sometimes
I think Freddie just ran out of talent.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, right. Sometimes you get a job and you're just, you know, maybe it's a little, maybe you weren't ready for that job.
Yeah.
Maybe someone promoted you a little too fast.
It's the Peter principle, right? Yeah. You will get promoted to a point of incompetence.
At the end of the day, coaches coach and players play. So we got a coach who's supposed to coach, and now our players got to play. They got to show up, man. There's no excuses. There's no injury stuff. There's none of that. We got to show up and play and perform. Our quarterback's got a quarterback. Running back's got to run. Receivers got to catch the ball. There's no excuses.
Yeah, I like where your head's at. It's saying, like, we learned how not to lose last year. We lost in every single heartbreaking way possible, and we've learned from that. So now maybe we'll win 9 games. Maybe we'll make a wild card. I think that's a much healthier perspective as a Browns fan.
Definitely healthy. I've had some unhealthy Sundays watching my Browns. And, you know, historically, the bye week and draft night have been our favorite parts of the year. But now we have more hope.
Yes, yes. Well, CJ, thanks, man. This has been fun. We love having you on. You were a big-time fan favorite.
Yep.
Shout out your wine. Shout out your podcast. Pull up with CJ McCollum.
McCollumHeritage91.com.
Ooh, there we go. That sounds great. And best of luck. And, yeah, hopefully you guys make the playoffs. Hopefully you have that chance to blast off in someone's face.
Pause. I look forward to it. Yeah. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great time, man, for all the kids out there listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
And continue to read. All right. Reading is crucial.
Yeah.
And drink a lot of wine.
Yeah. Drink all the wine you can. I read a book this quarantine, so we're kind of the same. I actually did. You, there was a tweet that went viral that said the hardest part about reading a book is not telling anyone that you read it. So that's always the hardest part for me. When I read a book, I let the whole world know that I've read a book.
Yeah, I finished 2 books so far during the quarantine, so I'll keep a running tally and be sure to let the whole world know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just tweet out reading again every time I start reading. Just let everyone know I'm on the clock.
Hashtag, did you read today?
Yeah, I mean, you can tweet out a picture of a bunch of books, like a big stack of books, and everybody would just be like, oh, wow, he must be really
Dude,
smart.
He's learning.
It's like, no, I just bought books. You don't have to read them. You just buy them.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah. All right, well, CJ, thanks so much, man. We always appreciate it.
Good to see you, man.
All right. Y'all have a good one, man.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's get some segments. First up, we have trouble in paradise for the Green Bay Packers because Matt LaFleur said today about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron is our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so, always good when you have to say who your quarterback is.
It's like the vote of confidence in a head coach, right? Mm-hmm.
Rex is our quarterback.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that he said he sees him here for a really long time, which either is a lie or he just forgot that they drafted Jordan Love with the first round pick.
I mean, I think so. If Aaron Rodgers plays really well this year, which he probably will, he might opt out. I could see Aaron Rodgers opting out, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a guy that could take a year off.
Yeah.
Maybe go hang out in California with one of his new girlfriends at a house that he bought her because he's a simp. But I think that if he does play this year and he plays well, it's going to be the Brett Favre thing. They're going to give him 2 more years. They'll probably make him do press conferences with Jordan Love just to like remind him that he's there breathing over his shoulder.
Yes.
And then after a couple seasons, he'll go somewhere else.
It would be a real shame if Aaron went back to the tequila.
Mm, real shame.
Real shame.
Or the scotch.
I just love the idea of just saying Aaron is our quarterback. Like, no duh. But maybe it isn't no duh anymore.
I'll put it this way. Aaron Rodgers right now, if NFL teams were available on like Zillow or any of those house shop like real estate apps, he would be looking at Las Vegas right now. He would be like swiping around, checking out maybe Jacksonville, no state income tax there. Mm-hmm. Probably be checking out Tennessee at some point, no state income tax there either. Looking down at the Dallas Cowboys, he would be looking. He would rather, I think, play for Mike McCarthy right now than Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
Because say what you want about Mike McCarthy, but he never acquired a good quarterback to play behind him.
Mm-hmm. And he could go. Aaron Rodgers is always good in Jerry World, so maybe he goes down to Dallas.
That's right.
They use that as leverage against Dak.
Skip Bayless would absolutely shit himself.
Yeah. Oh, that would be. What would he do?
I don't know. It's got to be a package deal with him and Mason Crosbar.
He'd have to get Aaron Rodgers' Cowboys jersey on the ready for his dick high microwave.
Yeah, you know what though? Like when Mike McCarthy was the coach of the Packers, he would like specifically bring in bad quarterbacks just to make Aaron Rodgers feel like he was welcome.
Slighted,
you know?
Yeah.
Or no, he'd bring him in to make Aaron Rodgers feel okay.
Oh yeah, to be like,
okay, you know that DeShone Kizer isn't going to take your spot.
Yes.
Now Matt LaFleur doesn't have all that background with Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't know how to treat him. So now he's just like he's really fucked with him. So Aaron Rodgers, I actually agree with you that like I could see this season totally blowing things up between the two of them.
Yes. What just fell out of? We were just watching. Something just fell out of a Red Sox pitcher's hat. Is that legal? He has a card underneath his hat. I think it's the stats. That's kind of funny, actually.
Can you do that?
He was looking at it earlier. I think it has something to do with like the thing with the catcher.
I would like to see pitchers start to wear like arm sleeves like quarterbacks. That would be kind of cool.
That'd be nice.
With
yeah.
all the stats and like where to pitch a guy.
Yeah, like a play sheet.
Yeah. Let's have it happen.
It looked like one of those things that just taunts you that says, do not eat this packet that you always want to eat. It's like, I didn't want to eat it until you fucking told me not to. Now it looks delicious.
Sorry, I got distracted by live sports. Pretty nice.
Not sorry.
You want to do the segment, Bum Me Out?
Yeah, Bum Me Out, featuring Big Cat.
Thursday night would be the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, come on, man.
Would have been the first, yeah. like, oh my God, there's football on our TV.
No.
There's helmets.
No, it wouldn't because the season got pushed back.
But it would have.
So it'd be next Thursday.
No, it would have been Thursday.
Don't tell me.
It would have been Thursday. Under regular circumstances, it would have been Thursday.
Okay, let's.
I have an Bum Me Out.
Okay.
6 weeks from tonight is the first NFL Sunday.
Let's go.
Great. Good job.
Let's go, Jake. Who would have been on Thursday night at the Hall of Fame?
I think it was the Steelers and I don't know who else. Cowboys, maybe? It depends on who's going. Yeah, Steelers and Cowboys.
Steelers, Cowboys. Okay, I've got Steelers.
Who is going to the Hall of Fame this Steelers, year? Palomalu?
-6.5. And over-under is 43.5.
It just, that's the best when it's the first, and it would have been the start of Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Fuck.
Hard Knocks. Yeah.
Are you taking the over?
Yeah, I would take the over, and then watch as like the third string, fourth string guys who aren't even going to make the roster suck. And I'm like, damn, but at least I get to see football on my screen. You see the NBC graphic.
Yeah.
It just feels good.
It does. It feels good for about a quarter.
It feels good for less than a quarter. It feels good for 4 minutes. Tops.
I mean, we get to see good. Andy Dalton a little bit this year. Oh, that would be kind of cool.
All right.
We get to see Mike McCarthy in those colors. That's really what I would be looking forward to.
I blow myself
out. Seeing how that accents his fat face.
Yeah. That's a dinger.
Whoa.
Damn.
Is that Aaron Judge?
How many home runs do you have?
Five games in a row.
He has five home runs. Five games in a row.
Piss test.
Wow. He's on pace for 55 home runs.
That's not that many.
That's
crazy. Wouldn't even be a record.
Now, actually, no. How many games did they play? They played seven. So he's actually on pace for 58 home runs because they missed the first two games. He didn't hit a home run. Mm-hmm. Five games in a row, he's going to hit a home run every game for the rest of the season. You'd have to assume.
Now, if he hits 61 home runs this year.
Is that the new record?
Is that the new record?
Yes, I'd have to say so.
I would say probably.
All right, let's finish up.
I'm going to unbum you out too.
Yeah.
Real quick. This Thursday, the fifth major, the PGA Championship.
True.
Yes.
True.
Uh-huh.
Six major.
Travelers is the fifth.
John Deere is the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. We have a major. All right, so let's finish up with PR 101. Yoenis Cespedes was dead, but then he wasn't.
The way the Mets handled that is very classic Mets.
Well, it's also just so Mets to any other franchise, and they're like, we can't find this guy. Everyone's like, oh, my God, I hope he's okay. The Mets announced, we can't find this guy, and everyone's like, well, he's dead.
You know what? I just assumed that he defected from the Mets.
Like, and he did.
And he did.
That's, he did. He opted out.
He is the first Cuban to ever defect from the New York Mets.
Which was very smart of him, because I think it was a contract year and he was batting like 121.
Yes.
And I think they also took some money away from him for his whole ranch tripping and hurting himself on his ranch incident.
That, well, a boar was chasing him,
yeah,
to be fair. And then the boar saw that he tripped and fell, and the boar lost interest.
And he's addicted to playing golf. What a weird career that Cespedes, what do you call him? Juan Cespedes?
Jose Cespedes.
Cespedes. I mean, Cespedes is a case study in a guy that had like three outfield putouts in the first, I think, week of the season back in 2013, 2014. And he's always going to be that guy in my head where I'm like, pay this guy $30 million right. a year. He's worth it, because there's nothing more underrated in sports, I don't think, than like a sick 300-foot bomb from deep right field straight to third base.
Well, and he also had he was playing for the A's, so no one watched him except for all of his highlights.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, this guy's electric.
That's true.
But he was electric for the Mets, even when they went to the World Series, he was pretty damn good. But mm-hmm. It was a weird, totally Mets story to have a guy be like, wait, is he dead?
And the way that the Mets handled it, I think that their GM, I forget the guy's name, he's a shithead, he put the news out there knowing
Brody is his name. Brody, so you know he sucks.
Yeah, he was the last person cut from the Water Dogs this year. Went on to be the GM of the Mets,
and he's gonna take your spot on Outer Banks, Hank.
He said that Cespedes was going missing. He's gone missing, so everybody be on the lookout for him. He knew that Cespedes packed up his shit and left because he was opting out, but he used to be Cespedes' agent.
Ooh.
And so he's pissed that Yoenis, or Jose, as many of you might know him,
mm-hmm. Guess he's commonly known as,
ended up signing with Roc Nation. And so now he's got an axe to grind with him. So now he's like feeding all this shit into the media. When, I mean, first, your first thought, if somebody just ditches the Mets, if you're an ugly person and you're on a date with a hot chick and they just like go to the bathroom at a restaurant and leave, you don't immediately suspect that they're dead.
Right.
You know, but if they play for the Mets, I got ditched again.
Yes.
You know?
If they're wearing a Mets polo, you're probably like, they got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And yeah. We owe them a shitload of money.
He's getting Tommy John surgery right now.
All right. That is our show. Anything that we missed, Billy, on your sheet?
Oh, let's check it out.
Oh, dude. Oh, space.
Oh, yeah. What space? About space? We went through space. We came back. You also had
sick of space.
Jesus Christ, you got pretty serious on the sheet today.
I did it in depth.
I liked it. They caught the guy who killed blue check marks, and you spelled blue like the blue cheese.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. It made me hungry for some wings. So that's, you know how to do that. 17-year-old was the kid who hacked. That's crazy, man. These fucking kids these days. Not to sound old, but these kids these days.
Let's see. Sean McDermott says, back up or mask up. That's the official slogan of the Bills this year.
And then finally, diabetes. Billy didn't even put down Wilford Brimley's name. He just said diabetes guy passed away, was considered the world's first meme. Is that true?
No.
Everyone knew the diabetes guy.
Yeah, but that was the world's first meme?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely like the
Star Wars kid or something.
Bad Luck Brian.
I was going to say
Scumbag Steve.
No, but like before the internet, like everyone knew, oh, diabetes
memes
guy.
Didn't exist before then.
Yeah, they did. The hieroglyphics in the pyramids. Yeah. It's like, oh, this girl's got dog face.
So then you were wrong.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a good shot. Mm-hmm. You didn't think we were going to get to the last page.
Yeah, I kind of.
Let's be honest here.
I did a full breakdown on all the Pac-12 players' demands.
Right, you were hoping that,
never read.
You wrote the paper being like, there's no way the teacher's going to read the sixth page of this.
Yeah.
We're good.
I do like this picture of Brooks Koepka just
putting
going
in a fucking dog.
Fucking hammer.
Yeah.
And I'd like to throw a flag on earlier in today's episode, because I'm pretty sure we didn't talk about Bryson on Friday's show, because I went home from the show, and then I saw the news break and the video come out of Bryson when I was laying in bed.
I was groggy as well.
I didn't want to call you out, PFT, but I think that stream did a number on your brain.
It did, but what?
Well, Hank's comments were still correct the way he was describing it, because he was saying last week, which was last week, and that the next day, Brooks did the the thing.
That was correct. What I was trying to say was that we did not discuss the Bryson thing on the show.
I don't remember.
On Thursday. If we did, I was blacked out, and I accept no responsibility. I'm opting out of responsibility for that.
Yeah, I mean, we could have. We could not have. Mm-hmm. We could have. What do you think, Jake? Do you have it?
I'm doing my research.
He's doing his research, folks. He's doing his research.
The Bryson Ants thing happened on the 30th, which was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Did Brooks mimic him on Thursday?
Friday. But
what, we might not have talked about it.
What time did the Bryson thing happen?
Yeah, I don't
think
we talked about it.
5 o'clock.
It was afternoon, the sun setting.
Exactly. So we were out of here.
There you go.
Okay. We're both right.
I'm opting out.
Yeah. All right. We'll see everyone Wednesday.
BTW, RIP, Wilfred Brimley. I didn't want that to sound disrespectful.
Love you guys.
What's BTW mean?
BTW, by the way.
You don't know what BTW is?
You're signing off.
Oh,
here.
I
just never really hear people say it.
BTW.
Instead of just saying, by the way.
Old man. Old man says. What was I going to talk about? So I was thinking about whether to go back to school or not, and I really don't know what to do. And it's a very pressing decision, because do I go back on campus and let them track me? Or do I just, like, do online school and just keep doing this stuff, which is really fun? But, you know, it's a lot weighing on my mind. My foot's feeling better. I had it in a boot on Friday. Then I took the boot off because I realized it was stupid, and I'd rather just be in pain. Joe Rogan in Post Malone talked about aliens. But they talked about aliens. It's sick.
Alyssa Milano is more a direct competition.
Oh. Anyway, love you guys. Hope you have a good one. Oh, I'm going to do an Elmo impression.
Elmo. Elmo, huh?
Okay, I'm going to do all the impressions I can do.
Nope.
SpongeBob.
Nope.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.